So welcome back, those who are away for Yontif. So we've had two shiurim so far as part of an introduction. We'll try to finish this part of the introduction, even though there's much more to say, obviously, but to try to start actually just going straight forward. But what we've been trying to do, again, just to bring people, I guess, up to speed, as they say, in the beginning of we're studying the fourth parak of Shavuos. The fourth parak of Shavuos discusses the institution of Shavuos Ha'edus, which basically means what happens in a situation where there's a din Torah between two parties, and one of the litigants is convinced that there are two witnesses who can shed light on his case, unless he's masochistic. You know, he probably thinks that they are going to support, you know, his contention in the case, that they'll be supportive of his view. And he approaches them, demanding that they come forward and testify in his behalf. And they lie, the two Aiden. They say, we don't know any testimony. He imposes a shvua. He's allowed to impose a shvua upon them, meaning he can demand that they take a shvua, right, to declare their ignorance, I guess, or to explain why they refuse to come forward. And then if it turns out that they were in fact lying, that they violated this shvua sa'edus, this oath about knowing edus, so then they're obligated to bring a korban. Korban's called korban shvua sa'edus. That's the pasuk in Vayikra. Hey, Aleph, very small pasuk, but like all psukim, or many psukim, it packs, you know, quite a lot in it. Nefesh kisachata, and according to the Mefarshim, it packs even more than what I just said in it. It packs double. I'll explain it in a moment. Nefesh kisachta, if a person sins, v'shama kol Allah, and he hears, literally means he hears the voice of the curse, meaning it means he is exposed to a shvua to support his contention, v'hu eido ra yada, his contention that he doesn't know testimony, when in reality he is, in fact, an aid who saw and knows. Im lo yagid, and notice the way it's spelled, lamed vav aleph, im lo yagid, if he refuses to testify, v'nasa avono. So he carries his chet, which basically means if he lies about knowing edus bishvua, then he is going to be punished. And then the next pasuk says that the punishment is that he brings a karban ola v'yomer. That is the institution of shvuas edus. Yeah.
The recitation that he may be a masochist, may not be a masochist.
Yeah, we'll get to it.
But
yeah.
Is that really relevant? I mean, if all he says is the man was present, so I want him to testify.
No, what I'm saying is, do you violate Shavuos Eidos, let's say, if the testimony that you refuse to give won't help him, it'll only hurt him?
Yeah, no.
We'll get to it. I'm planting seeds, I guess. Yeah. So we'll get to in a second on the Chovas Haggadah part. Anyway, that's the institution of Shavuos Eidos. So the first Mishnah in the fourth parak discusses the conditions of Shavuos Eidos. I'm just going to look through part of it very quickly. This is Lamed Amud Aleph. We also have it in the sheets, but it's even better. It's in your Gemaras if you have them. So the Mishnah says Shavuos Eidos, this institution of Shavuos Eidos. No heges, it applies ba'anashim v'lo banashim, only to men and not to women, because women are excluded min haTorah from testimony. Birchokin v'lo bekrovim, it applies only to people who are not pasaliedos b'toras kurva, right? If they're related to the Medinim, if they're related to each other, if they're related to the Dayanim, in all circumstances, Krovim are also excluded from testimony. So if a Shavuos Ha'edus is imposed on either women who cannot testify, or Krovim who cannot testify, or below B'psulim, P'sulim is Gazlanim, you know, again, another P'sul Eidus min HaTorah, the Einano Heges, Ela B'ru'uyim Lahoy. It only applies to people, why do you need to say that after you said the first three? So the Gemara is going to discuss it. It refers to Melech, it refers to Suleida's Drabbanan, like Masachik Bakuvia. The Gemara is, you know, they're what is it they say these days, ahead of the curve. They also figured out that this is superfluous language. They address that, and we'll get to it. That's important. Okay. So the first thing we know in this Mishnah is that the Chiyuv Korban Shvuas Eidus is limited to somebody who is an aid. Even that we're going to challenge a little bit. Typically that is of course true. It's a Mishnah and it's very logical. The reason I said we're going to challenge it a little bit is we're going to look at cases, if not today, then going forward, where the people who are being questioned and who are being asked to come forward can affect the case even if technically they're not aided. I'll just give you a quick example. We have a halacha. This is the third parak of Sanhedrin. The Mishnah says in the third parak of Sanhedrin, Neman alay Abba, Neman alay Avicha, Neman alay Gimel Rai Bakar, which basically means the institution that we are all familiar with called Kiblo alay, which means that if both Balei Dinim say, you know what, we'll accept a Dayan Pasul, we accept him in this case. Or they'll say, we accept Edim Psulim in a case, right? So the halacha is that if they do it properly with a Kinyan, whatever it is, then that is acceptable, that is binding. Now, what exactly that is it really redeeming or being machshir, the Edom and the Dayanim, or is it a kind of hiskaibos? That part of the story here also. But the point I'm trying to make is, there can be cases where you have a Din Torah where the litigants have agreed to lower the standards and to include people who are not really ru'uyin l'hoyin min haTorah or ru'uyin l'dun min haTorah. And there's going to be a question in that circumstance, if that's the background, for example. So will a posel who has been accepted, you know, for edus in this case, will he be subject to korban shvuas edus? Actually, that's a discussion in the Yerushalmi. What the Yerushalmi says is debated. Most Rishonim think that the Yerushalmi says that that will not be korban shvuas edus. The Rajba had a different read of the Yerushalmi and thought that the Yerushalmi was saying it will be Shavuos Eidus. I'm just giving you an example, but even though the Mishnah says that Korban Shavuos Eidus is limited to Edim Ru'uyim, that's because typically, right, Edim Ru'uyim are the only people who can have impact in a case. But if you had a case, a situation where impact on the case was disentangled from the status of Ru'uyim L'Hayid, it would be an interesting question, right, whether or not Shavuos Eidus depends formally on Eidus, Eidim, or does it depend technically more on effectiveness? But we'll get back to that. I'm just okay, so the first point of the Mishnah is that you need Ru'uyim L'Hayid, which I'm now suggesting may be one of two things. It either may mean effectiveness, or most probably it means more than effectiveness. It means formally, titularly, a shame aid to make you effective. That's requirement number one for Shavuos Eidus. Yeah.
Just case of Neman alay Abba, isn't that a case of Dayanim, not Eidim?
Remember the Mishnah and the Gemara both. If you look at the Sugya in Sanhedrin, the Sugya deals with both. I mean, right, Neman alay Abba, Neman alay Avicha, Neman alay Gimel alay Bakar is initially about Dayanim, but in the continuation of the Sugya there, Daf, whatever it is, Chaf Gimel, I believe, there's equal discussion about Edim. Now, in theory, could you distinguish between Edim and Dayanim in terms of whether it's, you know, being machshir them or it's more of a... You could. It's a parallel discussion about both, but it's the sugya itself, the Gemara, deals with both cases. Okay. So I don't want to get far afield right now on that, but that's the case. Okay. So that's the first point. The first component, then, is that you need Ru'uyim L'Hayid, which may really mean Ru'uyim L'Hayid, or it may mean effectiveness in the case, even when it's not Ru'uyim L'Hayid, but typically, you know, one is a precondition for the other. Then the Mishnah goes on and tells us something which we're going to have to get back to at greater length, that the Mishnah goes on, the second point in the Mishnah is to record a debate between Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanan. We possibly like Rabbanan in this debate, but Rabbi Meir's position, as we'll show, is a very important position. Okay, we can mention it now, and we'll see more as we go forward. What is that argument about? So let me get a touch of background. Typically, a shvua right? The way, you know, when we imagine it and when we encounter it and, you know, when we talk about it in its more, we'll say conventional, I don't want to say classical, so we'll say conventional applications, is what we call a case of nishba mipi atzmo. Ishvus shav, ishvus bitui, I'll show you inside in a minute, are cases where the individual, the violator, the one who violates the oath, he himself articulates the shvua. Shvuas bitui, shvuas shav, etc. In other words, he pronounces, he articulates, I hereby swear. Let's assume for the moment, and this is a matter of great argument, but the Rambam's view is that a shvua typically requires a shem Hashem. It's really a big machlokes. But for the moment, let's just say that part of the thing that identifies a shvua for the Rambam is shem Hashem. So that has to be articulated by the nishba. That's called shvua mipiatzmo. And it's a reasonable requirement, because the whole point is that it's a false oath. So it should be a false oath. It's a bitui, it's a hafla. So articulated by the liar, the person who says sheker, correct? Okay. However, Shvus Eidus is particularly challenging because its classical case is what we call Mipi Acherim. It's a case where the Shvua is imposed by one of the Balei Dvarim. Okay? Even in the Pasuk itself, you could see that. V'shama kol Allah. What do you mean, v'shama kol Allah? V'hu eino ra yada. Meaning the person who is the aid, the ruim lahayid, the aidim, are lying after v'shama kol. They heard the klala, or the shvua. What do you mean they heard the shvua? They articulated the shvua. Right? Ish kiyafli neder. Right? Or in shvuas bitu, lo yachel devaro. Right? That refers to the nishba. But kishama kol Allah is classically a case of mipi acherim. So everybody agrees that shvuas eidos applies bein mipi atzmo, bein mipi acherim. These are two cases. Shvuas hapikadon, which is a parallel case, the next parak, a case where, as we've discussed already, where basically the I accuse my neighbor or my friend or whatever of stealing from me, or not returning an object of mine that he's holding. And he lies about it under oath. He lies, that's lo techachashu. If he also swears falsely, that's lo techakru ishba misa. Right? So, also, shvus hapikadon can be mipiatzmo mipiacher. We'll see in a moment. The Gemara points out that the real makor of mipiacherim is shvus eidos. But we derive, based on limudim, that it applies to shvus hapikadon as well. Bepashtus, I'm saying these words not just to add words, but because I'm trying to be really accurate. Bepashtus, shvus bitui doesn't have mipi acherim. It seems to be that's what the Mishnah says. Look at the Mishnah for a minute on Chav Tesem Beis. Everybody have the Mishnah on Chav Tesem Beis? Shvus bitui. No heges banashim ubanashim. Everybody, the same structure in the Mishnah. It's anticipating shvuas eidos, right? This is the end of shvuas bitui. This is the last gasp of, you know, talking about shvuas bitui before we transition over into a chosha mishpat shvuos of shvuas eidos, shvuas pikadon, shvuas adayanim, shvuas anishbaim, which are drabanan, in the end of the mesecta. So the third parak is all about classical, regular shvuas bitui. So shvuas bitui noheges banashim ubenashim bikrovim uberchokim biksherim ubepsul, because that's nothing to do with eidos, it's with people, right? Men, women, what difference it make, right? Krovim psulim, what difference it make? These are statements that people make under oath, and if they lie, there are certain additional consequences. It doesn't matter whether they're kosher eidos or not. It has nothing to do with eidos. And then we're told bifne bezdin v'shelo bifne bezdin. It doesn't matter if it's in or out of court. Mi piatzmo. But it's got to be mipiatzmo. The chayavin alzdona makos, mezid you get malchus, and shigasa carbon oliviore. Similarly, shvuas shav no heges, a shvuas shav, which is a meaningless shvua, meaningless because it's so obvious, or meaningless because it's so obviously false. Right? Al even shu even, al even shu hu eitz, al isha hu isha, al isha hu ish. Right? Either one. So Shavuot Shabbos noheges by Noshim uBenoshim beChokim beKrovim beKshirim bePsulim bifnei Bezdin v'shalo bifnei Bezdin, right? Umi piatzmo. And again, Chayiv Ozdo Namakos v'al Shigasa Pater. Then the Mishnah concludes, which makes it a little bit of a problem, and the Gemara addresses it. V'chayav Ozdo on second. Achazu v'achazu amushman v'piachayim Chayiv. That seems to contradict the first, you know, two statements. So the Gemara later on will say, if you look at the next line, the Gemara says, Amar Shmuel, of Kola Ona Amen Achra Shmuel, Kemotzi Shmuel Mipiv Dami. And then the Gemara says, one of the rayas is the stira. That when we say Mipiacherim here, we mean Amen. Amen is like ditto. Okay, that's the Gemara. So basically the idea is that Shmuel's Bitui and Shmuel's Shav are only Mipiatzma. But Shmuel's Eidos is Mipiacherim and Shmuel's Apipadon is Mipiacherim. So one of the characteristic differences between Eidos and other Shavuos, a little bit also exported to Shavuos HaPikadon, is this idea of Mipiacherim. Why is it so important? The question is, what is a Shavuos Mipiacherim? It sounds like a stira minei obey. But if the whole point is that you made a Shavuos and you lied under oath, you have to be the one, presumably, who's formulating it. Right? So what do we mean that Shavuos Eidos is Mipiacherim? Okay. So the question of how we deal with the concept of Mipiacherim, we'll discuss much more extensively. But already, the Mishnah records that there's a debate between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim, which is obviously very relevant to this issue. So Rabbi Meir, the Gemara says like this, the Mishnah says like this. Bifnei Bezdin, Vishalo Bifnei Bezdin, Mipiatzma. Shavuos Eidos could take place even outside the venue of Bezdin if the lie that is told by the Eidim, who say they don't know testimony when in fact they do, right? If that lie is articulated by them, Mipi Atzma, like a Shavuos Bitui would. However, Mipi Acherim Ein Chayavin Ad Sheyichbru Bayim BeBezdin Divrei Rabbi Meir. However, if Mipi Acherim, which as we just noted, is the classical case of the Torah of of Shavuos Eidos, requires the venue of a Beis Din. Now again, what's that compensation? If you have a Beis Din, you don't need Mipi Atzma. You have Mipi Atzma, you don't need a Beis Din. Okay. And then the Chachamim disagree. Chachamim omrim, Be Mipi Atzma, Be Mipi Acherim, Einan Chayavim Ad Sheyichru Ben Beis Din. Chachamim say no. Beis Din is required in all cases of Shavuos Eidos, even Mipi Atzma. Not necessarily because there are no other differences between Mipi Acherim and Mipi Atzmo, as we'll discuss, but because no matter whatever differences do or don't exist, the requirement of Beis Din is non-negotiable. Why? Because if the whole point of Shavuos Eidos, right, is not just a false shvua about the topic of Eidos, but it is kind of an Eidos violation by means of the shvua, or by means of a false shvua, those are two different things, right? We use the same words, but we juggled them a little bit. They have a different meaning. Meaning, if the focus is not Hilchos Shavuos, but the focus is Hilchos Eidos, or some focus anyway, then the venue of Beis Din is a requirement, even in the case of Shavuos Eidos, Mipiatzma. So that is how we paskin, and what we'll have to look at is the question whether, even though we paskin like the Chachamim, are there other differences between Mipiacherim and Piatzmo? How do we understand this chiddush of Mipiacherim in Shavuos Eidos? And we'll get to, we already had it, but I'll just put it in context again in a few more minutes. Then the Mishnah concludes, Chayavin al Zdon Nashuav al Shigasam Zadon Eidos, that unlike Shavuos Bitu and Shavuos Shav, where the Mezid is Chayv Malkus, here Mezid is also Chayv Korban. It's a very rare chiv carbon that applies also to mezid, but this is one of those cases. If you really, there are two types of shogeg. If you really didn't know, in other words, let's say you didn't know the testimony, or let's say you forgot it, you had an attack of amnesia. He went to court, the guy said, come, testify, you know. He said, I really don't know anything, or I don't remember anything. So you're not chai for that. Because on a certain level, you're telling the truth. But we'll get back to this. Meaning, you don't remember. This is a discussion. Is there a difference if you say, I don't know, or I never knew, even though you think you're telling the truth, as opposed to saying, I don't remember, or I don't know, which totally is the truth, right? Anyways, Ma'in Chayavin al Zdon Hashvua Korban Olav Yor. That's the Mishnah.
What?
So the first Shigasa, at minimum, is the case. Let's say you are confused. There are two types of shogeg out there. One is, you know, you just, it's more like a misasek, or you know, you don't know something. You made a mistake. You can also make a legal mistake. Like, oh, I didn't know that you're not allowed to lie under oath, or that if you lie under oath, that you have to bring a korban. I thought it was a lav, I thought it was an assay. That kind of shogeg.
And what shogeg by Shua's Bitui? What does that mean?
So, we'll get to it. Good. But, yeah. So, basically, this is the Mishnah. So what we've been discussing the first two shiurim, the first before Yom Kippur and the one last week, was not so much this halakha, but the implications of this halakha for something, for a component that is prior to it. Namely, is there, and if so, what is the nature of the obligation to come forward and to give testimony? Because the parsha of Shavuos Ha'edus is the parsha of denying, right, knowledge, right, and lying about it under oath. But before you get to that, this is what we've been discussing, before you get to that, there's like a much more basic legal question, and that is, are you obligated to give testimony when you know it? Forget about korban, and forget about a shvua. Let's say no shvua, no korban. A pure hilchos edus halacha, right, is somebody whose testimony is going to be effective obligated to come to court to testify. Why not? As we said already, he doesn't want to be involved in somebody else's machlokas. Right? There can be numerous reasons. He, you know, he values his privacy. Right? He doesn't want to get involved in some, you know, in some din Torah. Can he do that or not? So what we've established so far very clearly is that no, there is definitely a Chiyuv Daraisa, right, to share your knowledge as an aid. That's clear. Right? The Mishnah said in Sanhedrin, we had it, I just don't want to go over everything again. The Mishnah said in Sanhedrin that when you give Iyum to the aid of Medina Nefashos, and you tell them, be careful, be rigorous in your testimony, because a lot is at stake, and as you know, Kalamakaim Nefesh Achas Mi Yisrael, Kalamabin Nefesh Achas, and so on. When you give them the whole speech, so you did such a good job that the Edom are going to turn to you and say, you know, Malonu Letzara Hazos. Like, okay, like, why should we bother with all this? We need nightmares, we need to be threatened. And the answer is, V'hu'edo Roy Yada, V'yagiv L'asav Anah. They quote this pasuk. Also, the Gemara Bava Kama, Daf Nun Vav, said, Hayodeh Edos L'chaver V'eno Me'idlo, Chaye B'dine Shemayim U'pata B'dine Yada. Gemara, there's Bava Kama, so it's talking about Bava Kama type things, right? Nezek. So the Gemara says, you might think that, you know, if you don't come forward and testify, and your testimony would have made a difference, that you should pay. Maybe that's like Dina de Garmi, you're a Mazik. But you should know that you're Chai B'dine Shemayim, not B'dine Yada. Okay. Okay. Then the Gemara says, what's the case? Two Edim or one Ed? So the Gemara says, if it's two Edim, Doraisahi, Vuhu Edo Ra Yadam Le'agid V'nasav, oh no. So once again, they invoke our Pasuk to prove, no Shua, right? Just to prove that you're obligated to come to court and testify, and if you don't, right, that you are, that you're in violation of some sort. So the Bali Tosis, again, I don't want to go through all the Makoros that we saw already, but the Bali Tosis and all the Rishonim were bothered by this. A very basic question. How can the Mishnah and Sanhedrin and the Gemara and Bava Kama quote a pasuk of Shua Seidus, which is talking about a case where there are more violations, there are more components that have been violated, how can you prove from more less? It's the opposite of a Kavachoma, right? You can prove from Korban Shua Seidus that you're obligated to come forward and give testimony when you haven't violated the Shua? How would you know that? And they say different things. Again, Tosa says, if you read the Pasuk, that was my illusion before about the Pasuk having even more in it than we think. According to Tosis, the way to read the pasuk is, right, if you, you know, refuse, you know, to testify in a case where, right, you are already, you know, in violation for not coming forward and giving testimony, if you also do that, you know, together with a false oath, then you bring a korban shua. And the Shulto said, no. It says, nefesh kisecheta, that is written, that's what you asked me last week, right? Prior to, you know, v'shama kol Allah, so how is already chote? So most readings of the pasuk is, nefesh kisecheta, colon. You want to know how is sechta, right? The answer is, v'shama kol Allah, v'u eidu rayada, right, v'l yagid v'nasavon. That's how he's a chote. Says the Shultos, that's not the pshat. The pshat is, nefesh kisecheta. If he's already a chote because he didn't come forward to give testimony, and then to compound matters, right, v'shama kol olav u'eid o'royada, say, lo yagid v'nasavo, no. Right? So there is a whole group. The Rajba, this is what I keep referring to, the Rajba had a real conceptual breakthrough. Right? The Rajba says, no, the pasuk is about shvuas edus. The pasuk is about a shvuah. How could we quote the pasuk, you know, in a more minimalist case? Says the Rajba, because conceptually, we wouldn't be able to justify a chiyuv shvuas edus mipi acherim, right, where he's not really articulating the shvuah and the sheker. After all, he's just responding. The guy says to him, I hereby impose upon you shvuah. Let's assume you need shem Hashem, according to the Rambam, I'll say. With the Shem Hashem and so on. And the guy says, yes, that's exactly correct. So he says, yes, exactly correct. That's a shvuah sheker. Right? How does the fellow, says the Rajba, the Toveya, have the right to impose a shvuah upon him such that it's considered like his shvuah sheker? The answer is, he can't and he doesn't. But really, the fact that he initially is obligated to testify, and now, minat Torah, and he refuses to do so, and his refusal is even expressed through a lie, or through rejecting the association, we'll call it, of Shem Hashem, that's why he's chayav a korban. Big chiddush.
Is that mitzarif? What is that? Legally, what is that?
It's more than a mitzarif. I mean, the mitzarif part could have been then kind of integrated in, as I'll explain, into what the Ramban in one place calls, you know, mashbia kenishba. But it sounds like you need partly the mechayev of kvishas edus hefsed mamon, right, as a component of the mechayev of korban shvuas edus. Okay.
Well, the Mornbog Tan says that it's rasa avono, he's violating that because when his mazik is, he doesn't testify on his behalf.
Say again?
The Gemara in Bava Kama that you quoted.
Yeah.
So the violation is because of Shema Kohol of the Nasa Avon.
No, it only said, the Gemara in Bava Kama says, Hayodei Eilus Lechaber of Eino Mei. I raise, look, it's, let's look at it.
Why isn't he Chayav Malkus if he's violating?
Why aren't you?
Why isn't he Chayav, if he's violating?
No, because the Torah says a karma.
What's the Eraisity?
Right, but the pasuk is it the onus of that pasuk is a korban, not a malchus.
But yeah, he also gets malchus.
Why? No, definitely not. Why would he get malchus? You could ask why he doesn't. That's a good question, Mazer. That's part connected to sugya daf chapeh amud beis, which I hope we'll get to.
One other question: why is it called Allah? Allah is a curse.
Yeah.
You're defining Allah as being
mashpia mipi acheli. Yeah, I mean that's what it is. We'll get to that in Lamed Hayomid Day Islam and Bab Malalas. Sota also is called Allah. Right. So yeah. Here, just look at the Gemara here a minute because I want to talk about it a little bit more. This is on page 3. Again, I have different versions of this. Hayode erus lechaver v'ena meidloi. The Gemara says b'maya skinan. Ilema bebetre pshita daraisa. I think it's page 3. What the line is it?
7
on 3. So hayodei erus lechaver v'ena meidloi b'maya skinan ilema bebetre. If there are two witnesses, pshita. That's what we're talking about. Im lo yagid b'nasav ono. Ela b'chal. Okay. So, I want to mention, so we have these different views, right, so far. What I wanted to mention is something else. I want to start with a fact, and then I want to explain why it's so important. Why isn't he chayiv mamon? Right? You have Edim. They could testify in court. They would make the difference. Reuven and Shimon are having a din Torah. If Levi and Yehuda will come to court and testify for Reuven, they're where they're supposed to, Reuven will win his case. If not, he's out $100. Right? Why are you only chayiv b'dinei shamayim?
That's a Roma thing, isn't it?
Yeah. Okay, so actually, so let me just give you three perspectives on this very quickly and then talk about it a little bit. The Tosus Rid, I'm sorry?
Yeah, just in general, we've learned in the past years that depriving someone of a gain is not...
Well, is that a gain?
Well, you're depriving...
In a Din Torah where Shimon owes Reuven money.
Right.
Is that depriving him of a gain, or it's Reuven, well, really...
By not testifying, you're depriving one of the litigants of
a gain, or
your ability to collect.
Right, but is that a gain?
Quite different from owing
someone. I think you're on the right track, but I think that is not necessarily... What? You'll take it, right? Right. Well, I'll explain what I mean. Hopefully I wouldn't just say that, you know. Yeah, but we'll get to it in a second. Meaning, where I'm taking issue with you is that Reuven, you know, Shimon owes Reuven $100. So his inability to collect is not a loss of profit. Or it's not the absence of a gain. It's coming to him because it's his money. It should be in his bank account, right? It's not an aved on the street. But we'll see in a moment that you're more... I wouldn't say you're more right than wrong. I wouldn't give you that. We'll say 50-50. But you're on the, according to the Ramban, you're on the right track. And this is one of the things I want to bring out. Yeah. Yeah.
Nothing in this world is a slam dunk.
Say again?
Nothing in this world is a slam dunk.
Okay.
The Avis, they come along. Other Avis, they come later on. That's something that...
Okay. So that is what you're saying. And this is, I think, the view of the Meiri. What he's saying is 100% right.
It's because he's sitting next to me.
But the point is that what you're saying is, let's solve this problem from a purely Grama Garmi point of view. That's what you're saying. And from that point of view, the Edom are contributory factor, but they're not the exclusive factor. Why? Because maybe we would have found out after they came to court that they were disqualified anyway, or what you said, which is maybe we think that they're the exclusive Edom in the world, but maybe there really is a pair that we don't even know about, right? So there are, from a Garmi, Grama, Mazik point of view, the question always where you draw that line. That's above a comma question, right? Is what constitutes Nezek, which you can be Gove, and what is Garmi, and what is Grama? Right, what is those lines? Much ink has been spilled in the Talmudic ink, medieval ink, modern ink, debating that question. And you're saying this is part of that debate. But from a pure Grama perspective, maybe there's no Chiyuv Mamon, 100%. What you were saying, I think, is something more, but you have to say it just a little bit differently, and you're on the right track in the Ramban, which I'll get to in a second. But before I even get to those, I just want to... present the extreme. The Tosus Rid, the Piskei Rid, actually says that you are chayiv. Apparently, had a different gear than the Gemara, because the way our Gemara reads is Pshita Daraisahi. But the Gemara doesn't say you're chayiv; it just says Pshita Daraisahi. And if you look at Rashi, who emphasizes it, Rashi says Pshita Daraisahi, the chayiv b'dinei shamayim, not that you're chayiv b'dinei adam if it's min haTorah, but it's just more obvious, even though you're still only chai b'dinei shamayim, right? And the Ramban holds this way, most Rishonim hold this way. The Tosus Rid apparently had a different girsa and said, no, if there's a daraisa obligation, then, so he's disagreeing with both of you, in other words. But on the Grama side of it, let's say for the moment, at minimum, he's saying, there's enough here for a chiyuv. Right? That's an amazing sheet, though. We'll get back to that. So this can turn into that. But that, and that's a view also possibly of Rabbeinu Yerucham, the Shulta Giborim. There's a small group of Rishonim that say this. 95% of the Rishonim, and the numbers I'm making up, obviously, say what Rashi says, which is that even if it's Daraisa, it's only a Chiyuv Shamayim, it's not a Chiyuv Bnei Adam. The Ramban is the most important Rishon who joins this discussion and says, why? Why isn't it Chayiv? So look what the Ramban says. What you said is very close to it, but you just have to add a little bit. Here, look at the Ramban Kutrastina de Garmi. This is on page... Four. Okay. So as you know, the Ramban wrote this Kutrastina de Garmi, in which he, you know, analyzes, case after case to try to figure out again what are the criteria for Mazik and Garmi and Grama. It's, as you would expect, you know, a magnificent exposition. Right? Normally we have Chiddush Ramban, we have Mochamos, we have Perush Alot. They're all amazing. But when the Ramban, you know, writes a book or a very long essay, you know, it's even better. It's like, you know, discussing that Torah Adam, right, where the Ramban deals extensively with Dini Avelus. It's a presentation, right? It's not just a piecemeal response. Anyways, so this is the Ramban. Hayodeinus b'chaveir v'enu neidlo, ibecha b'chud lo yavad le, b'lamidi de dilma hu mishtaba, heich u miftar. If it's only one aid, right? Maybe the guy will, even if he comes to court, will take a shvua. So it turns out that he wouldn't have made a difference in dinei mamonos anyway, if it's only one aid. Mi utrei na mi miftari. However, says the Ramban, even if there are two, which is what the Gemara is talking about, there still will be no chiyuv mamon. Dakshina b'gemara, abtur b'dei adam v'chai b'dinei shamayim, ibetrei doraisahu. Well, dakshina ibetrei my potter b'dinei adam. Right, the Ramban articulates what is implicit in Rashi, and that is, if the Gemara really thought that two Edom who abstain from coming to court can be liable, right, for the damages that their silence caused, then the Gemara shouldn't have said Daraisahu. The Gemara should have said, what do you mean, Chai B'dinei Shemayim? It should be Chai B'dinei Adam. Right? That's why I say, the Rid must have had a different gear. So this is what Rashi says. The Tosefta also seems to say this, that abstaining from testifying is a chi of korban, but not a chi of mamon. But why? So the Ramban says, "V'taymi de milsa sha'af hu enu chayev lahoid lo elamidin milus chasade." This is not what you said, but it's close to it. Meaning, he's giving your result. But what bothered me about your result is that doesn't fit. Meaning, from the perspective of the Balei Dinim, if Reuven and Shimon have a Din Torah, and Shimon owes money to Reuven, then if Reuven is supposed to collect from Shimon, that's not profit, right? That is coming to him. That's what I was objecting to. But what the Ramban is doing, which is so brilliant, is looking at it not from the perspective of Reuven and Shimon, but what is the obligation of the Edim? So the Ramban says something which is not at all obvious, something very mechudash, that is that the obligation of Edim to come forward, to give testimony, their prohibition to refrain, to come to court, is not a fundamental monetary or right, it's a chi of gemilas chasadim. And then Mukhi Yosef quotes this also in the name of the Ra, but he got it from the Rabbi. What?
That opens up a can of worms.
Oh, one second. Listen to this. It's midin chad milas chasadim shechivatar lahayin. And therefore, you can't, if I don't want to give tzedakah, you can't charge me for that. You may be able to force me to give tzedakah, but you can't. You can't send me a mazik bill, right? Vim lo rotza lekai mosa mitzvah, enam adin lekai b'mamon. Other cases of garmi, like you have a fence, a kalayim case. The kibbutz chiv mamon ligdor. If he's a neighbor and he has an obligation to put a fence up and he doesn't do it, That's all direct monetary obligation. That's certainly something that Tosfos Ri doesn't think is correct. It's something which I think a lot of the Rishonim who agree with Ramban's conclusion here don't accept. But it's a perspective, right? The im ena rotza litroach lahatzilo eno chayiv. Lemaza domeh, because he knows that he's saying something mechudash, right? The Ramban. So if you say something mechudash, even if you're convinced of it, you want to try to build it up, right? You want to look for precedents, parallels. Lemaza domeh, lemishiro kiso shel chaveiro avad. Man's walking in the street and he finds an aneda. A man's somebody else's wallet. The enum, is he supposed to pick it up? Sure. Let's say he walks past. The enum matzilo. Omishena rota liten pruta mishalo la'ani. He doesn't want to give a pruta to an ani. She'en bezin deschaivin also, but he's not a mazik. Mazik has a connotation and a requirement of being a monetary thief. A chiv, gimilz chasadim, right, cannot turn into mazik. Afkan, ein, bezdin, mechayvin, also the shalami beso, shalachivaso, atar, bekak, elikashar mitzvosi, veinu bedin mal. In my opinion, the Rambam doesn't agree with this. The Meiri, by the way, this is what you said more. Meiri also, let's see if I have it here. Do I have it here?
I don't know, I don't agree.
What? Do I have Miri?
Page three.
Well, I'll show you, because the Rambam clearly, I think the Rambam doesn't, I think that's an obligation you have for the system to give testimony. It's not Gemil Sasson to him. Yeah, I'll show that. What is it?
Page 328.
Oh, yeah, Mishidu Gubatsis, yeah. 328? Okay. Ben Shem Shnayim, Shekvisa Sedusam Mafsedes Mamon. Therefore, their silence causes a monetary loss. Bein shehu echad, shekvisha sedusa mafkas shvuas p'tur b'di'ada mechai b'dinish, both are only chai b'din shemayim. She'av grama ein kan, there's not even grama here, ho'il v'ein kan maisa. He does not say because it's a chiyuv kasa. He says it's too passive. There are other factors, it's a contributory factor, and it's v'sheval tasa. Right, it's too passive. Others say it's not Boriazeka, which is more close to what you said. But this is the same meaning that Tosfos Ri said you're chayiv. Wow. Okay? The Ramban says you're potur, but the only reason you're potur is because the ikar chayiv is vilas chasadim. That puts coming forward to testify, the civic obligation to give testimony in a whole different light. And the Meiri and other Rishonim say, in Achanami you don't pay to be Dine Mamanis, but that's because internally, from a Garmi point of view, it's not really Garmi. But let's go back to the Ramban, because this is the Ramban. So the Ramban says like this, does it make a difference if we're talking about the Edim who refuse to testify? Or a third party, right, that interferes with their ability to testify. Right, Ruvein Shimon Avedin Torah. Yehuda and Levi and Yehuda are Edim. Right, and then there's Dun, who's a troublemaker. Not generally, I mean. Let's say Dun, right, puts up the obstacles so that Levi and Yehuda cannot testify for Ruvein. Right? Levi and Yehuda want to testify for Ruvain, and they are obstructed by Dun. Is that Garmi?
It's a done deal.
So here the Ramban has three views. If the guy himself, if I'm Ivachiv Gmil's Chasadim, and I don't come forward to do it, you're not going to make me a guest of honor at the shul dinner. Right? But you can't also send me a bill, you know, in the name of Garmi. Right? But let's say somebody, a philanthropist, right? This is a fascinating question. Let's say a philanthropist is committed, right, to you know, to providing assistance. And some third party obstructs that. Right? Is that minias rebach alone? Or since that party is interested in giving, at that point does it turn into mazik? So that's what the Ramban addresses. The Ramban says, of a man desire, pumehon, the sahadi, the lo yisadun, if somebody else, right, impedes the ability of the Adam to testify, kagon, shiroi de megalgalin, ubaim, lahai, he sees these Adam, they're on their way, they're jumping and skipping, you know, they're on their way to testify. Adus the ploni, the, here's a kinu beindurnata, whatever that is, right? Yeshlomar, shuchayv lamandadoin, dinu de garmi, the first day of the Ramban is that he's chayv. Meaning the person who impedes the edus, not the edim who refuse to testify, the person who obstructs edim from their wish to testify, that's doin dina degarmi. Umban the saimi b'osu Rishalmi shekasaf the man the potter. There seems to be such a case in the Rishalmi when they say you're exempt. Bishum dolo dina dina degarmi. That's because they're arguing, goes back to your point again. Like, what are the rules of Garmi? That's with an internal mazik question. Because it's contributory, obviously. And it's still Sheval Tasa. I mean, what you did was you, kumbase, interfered in such a way so that they can't, you know, testify. So it's both, it's an element of each, right?
He doesn't know what they're going to say, per se.
Okay, so you can add that too if you want. He's not even getting there. Fine. Avalanan the daininan, since we all daininan din degarmi, we're more flexible. Mechayev, shudoma the sorif shtaros. First he thinks it's like sorif shtaros of shel chaveira.
Don't we say that that's patur?
You burn the contract.
Don't
what?
Say that's patur?
No, that depends whether din degarmi. It's patur if din degarmi is patur, but the Gemara in Tzadiches and Bava Kama thinks it's a case of din degarmi. Kedamin also Yerushalmi Mekareya Shtaros Chutzmidaito Shuvdomel Inish Tzayir Pumoin Desadi Dloyasidun Aman Tzayir Pumoin Desadi Domel Mekareya Shtaros Hukachay. Fine. He has a third shita. V'yeshlo Mar Shupator to be Emer the Misadi. Right. That's exactly what you said. Dil Mahadri Behu. Maybe the last minute they'll be Choser. Right. Exactly what you just said. V'lo Bari Hazeka. Bari Hezeka is, you know, the you know, that it's a certainty, the Hezek. If you don't, you know, that you could prevent it, that's a factor in Garmi. Vim Tomari Hachi Masur Nami Dilma Shakli, Ikalame Mar Hasam Kishakil Mios Machmas Gramasa Shakil, Kamanta Kalyadami, right? Avahacha Dilma Hadribu, fine. But oh, here comes the final one. Back to Gmil's Chasadim. But oh, Shehem Gmilus Chasadim Hu Avdi Gabe. Umisha Rochaber wrote a litin matana leploni, a hole chatzel mamona, vuma akvo, enominadim lechaivo. Shehem's a gorim hezek alamonea, the hezek bamimela, what you were saying before, but in this case, the chain ikar. In other words, what he's saying is, he has three deos, but the final deo is, you know what? At root, the Adam testifying is Gmilus Chasadim, the Shitasa. And therefore, you know, if you convince the philanthropist, you know, or you again impede him from giving, right, in the end of the day, it's still Minias Rebach. It's not Hefsed. Okay, you get the idea.
What
are
the
Machayev
of the,
Oh, so let's talk about Dinei Shamayim for a second. So this same argument, so what am I trying to show here? That there's a fascinating argument whether or not Edim, who are obligated to testify Likula Alma, right? If they don't testify, is there mazik? Some people think yes, that's an amazing shita. Most people think no, but the people who think no for different reasons. They think no because technically it still doesn't qualify as mazik. Or like the Ramban, they think no because this is really a chi of Gmilus Chasadim. And what do the other people think? It's not a chi of Gmilus Chasadim. It's a civic obligation that you either owe the system or owe him a kind of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh LaZeh. That's not Gemilas Chasadim. And then the Rambam goes further. Is it even, is that Gemilas Chasadim motif also Koveya when a third party is involved or not? Okay. I said before that the Rambam clearly does not think that this is, well, let me say it this way. The Ramban's view that the obligation to testify is Gemilas Chasadim is very remarkable. Because the Gemara itself, that this goes on, says it's based on a pasuk. So what happened to the pasuk? How did it become Gemilas? Meaning, what you have to say for the Ramban, is it some sort of a combination? In other words, the Torah is Megale, this Gemilas Chasadim. It wouldn't be Gemilas Chasadim, right, if the Torah didn't reveal it. Okay, that's also interesting. But for the Rambam, and anybody who thinks it's a real makar, it's not just a gili milsa of an extended gemilas chasadim. So for example, as I mentioned, the Rambam, talked about it last week, the Rambam has several chidushim in Perek Aleph, Hilchos Eidos, Halacha Aleph, right? This is how he starts Hilchos Eidos. Right? So if you remember, it's on the Ha'ed Mitzuba Lahayed Bebezdin, Chol Eidos Yodea. That's sort of the first we get to it, right? The masochist or the Rambam says you have to testify. Let's say Reuven is the one who says, "Come testify for me." And let's say you know that your testimony is going to sink Reuven. Either Reuven knows it and doesn't care, or Reuven doesn't know it because he doesn't know what you really know, or he doesn't know the law. Right? Are you still obligated to come? Says the Rambam, yes. So the Rambam is mechadesh, several things. Number one, this is a little bit noveya from the Gemara, that the obligation to give testimony is bein mamon bein b'isar. B'isar, you're not doing, it's not a chi of chesed. Right? It's bein l'schus, bein l'chov, l'chova is not a chi of chesed. Right? If you look in Sefer Mitzvot, the Rambam connects it to Lo Sam and Lo Dam Riacha. Not in Yad HaChazak. I think we talked about that last week. But the point is that there's a major, major argument, a major debate about how do you understand the Chiyuv Agada. It's Klape Chavero. You owe it to him, or you owe it as a legal, right, obligation to the system as a member of Klal Yisrael. Very important. The Smach, Sefer Mitzvot Kotan, codifies the mitzvah to give testimony in the end of, I think I have it here, in the end of Yom Dalid, Reish Lamed Tes. What page is it?
Last page.
Line 29? 21,
last page.
21. Shelo lichbo sheduso, don't suppress your testimony. Okay, and then I put in here, you know, intentionally, v'siyum yom chamishi, right? Mitzvos tluyos bedin. Yom vav, mitzvos tluyos b'mamon. I basically copy the next few lines in the text. Why did I do that? Ah, because the Sefer Mitzvos Katan, the Smak, or Yitzchak Mikorvil, or Sefer HaMitzvos, right? One of the Bali Tosas. He divided the mitzvahs up for the days of the week. What? Not familiar? Oh, we've talked about it in the past. Because he has a very, when I speak about Lotach mode, which I have in the past, he has it in Yom Sheni, which is Mitzvos Shebelev. I mentioned it that. Anyways, that's what he does. He has the, if you ever look at the Smak, it's divided into seven sections, one for each day of the week. Each day of the week represents like a different classification. So the classification of Yom Chamishi, of which the prohibition not to give testimony is the last entry, is Mitzvos Pliyos Bedin. And Yom Vav, Friday, is Mitzvos Pliyos B'Momon. So I just thought that was perfect. Like, it just, you know, when I saw that first time, I said, this is a gift, right? A gift to be shared. So, I mean, where would the Rambam have, where would the Ramban have put this? And where would the Rambam have put it?
He has this in both days.
What? No. He has it as the last halacha. See him. This is the end of day number
five. Now
I'm up to number six, and then comes the next group of mitzvahs. This is the last of the previous group, meaning it's under the group of mitzvos shebedin, not mitzvos atlios b'mama. So, since part of our question here is, and it's an objectively valid question, like if I just, you know, if I said to you, there's a chiyuv to give testimony, it's not so obvious that every legal system doesn't necessarily have an obligation to come forward and give testimony. There could be a concept of a legitimate bystander concept, right, in legal systems. So, if there is such an obligation, you know, it's always legitimate to ask, you owe this to the litigant, as fellow members of society, or you owe it to the legal system. That's essentially what we're talking about. For the Rambam, this is a din in Hilchos Eidos. And that's why it's Bein L'Chova, Bein L'Ptur. And Bein B'Isser and Bein B'Mamon. Right? And I think that's true for the Smak too. But for the Ramban, if it's a chiv of Gemilos Chasadim, it doesn't belong in Hilchos Eidos. If the Ramban were writing the Rambam, he would have put this in Hilchos Avelos, or something, or Hilchos Aveda, or, you know, or something like that. Because it's a chiyuv klape chavero. It's a totally different idea. Now, chai b'dinei shamayim, you ask me. Right? Let me just address that for 1 second. What does it mean, chai b'dinei shamayim, b'potim b'dinei adam? The answer is, not in a vacuum. What?
But we find a lot of
God. Exactly. We find a lot. It's in a list. There's a list of four things. If you burn down the guy's, field, you know, there are three other examples of it. And it's also not the only place in Shas where we have a Chivlot Tzedei Shemayim and a Potem Medinei Adam. But that doesn't mean it isn't a good question. It's always a good question. What does this mean? And there always are two perspectives that emerge, even though you might be mechalik between different cases. Meaning, one way to look at Chiv B'dinei Shamayim B'Potem B'dinei Adam is that this is a moral obligation, right? Not a financial one. Meaning, if you were the Rambam, and you're, let's say, using Rambam categories, I might want to put this in Hilchos Deos. It's the right thing and the wrong thing to do, but not necessarily in Sefer Mishpatim, or Shoftim, right? Or Nezikim. Right? Meaning it's the right thing to do. For the Ramban, for example, the Chi of Lotse Sedei Shamayim is of Gemilos Chasadim means exactly that. It's not a monetary obligation. It's a moral obligation. It's the right, proper, kind, good thing to do. However, sometimes we find that Chi of Lotse Sedei Shamayim is really a monetary obligation, just not one that is actionable in court. Does you cause me a loss? Not enough. You were only a contributor. You weren't the exclusive cause, so I can't, you know, impose a liability on you. But the right thing to do is to pay, not just out of morality, but out of finances too. It's the right monetary thing to do, because you really caused him a loss. For example, kamei l'rabba minei. Right, so the famous view of Rashi is that Rashi holds that kamei b'drabba minei is a chiyuv lotzei sidei shamayim, and Rashi seems to say in tafas lo mafkina minei. That if you are obligated at the same time in a chiyuv nefashos and a chiyuv mamon, so we know that's the rule kamei b'drabba minei, right? Meaning the courts cannot impose, they cannot enforce the monetary part. But Rashi's shita is that you're still obligated morally, chayv lotzei sidei shamayim, to pay. But more than that, if the guy grabs the money for the monetary part, lo mafkina minei, which means it isn't just a hilchos deos halacha, meaning you owe him the money because you do. You happen to, you know, to do a capital crime at the same time. So we have a rule that, you know, we don't impose the result. But doesn't mean you didn't steal from him, right? That's Rashi. So there's a whole discussion here in this Gemara in Bava Kamma. There is a whole discussion on the Achronim, the Marshal, the Ksos, the Nesivas. Is this like Kamle Bedrava Minei of Rashi? Right? Or is it less? Or is it more? In other words, whatever you say about Kamle Bedrava Minei, is that going to determine what you say here? Meaning, in this question, there's a Chiv Latsi Sidei Shemayim and not a Chiv Bidei Adam. But what happens in Tafas, Mafkina or Lo Mafkina? Meaning, if Reuven, you know, grabs $100 from Shimon, from Yehuda, and from Levi and Yehuda, right, whose silence cost him $100, does he have to give it back or not? That's a major debate.
Who determined that they cost him $100?
There's no witness. No, assuming. What do you mean? He did cost him $100.
They're not testifying, so, and it's a detour between Reuven and Shimon, so.
Reuven and Shimon really owes Reuven $100. The only people who know about it are Levi and Yehuda,
right,
who lie under oath and say that they, or I'm sorry, or who refuse to come to court.
Right.
And then now we know that they did. It came out, obviously. It didn't come out. It didn't come out, but it came out now that they did know that had they come. Let's say he doesn't have money anymore. I mean, you say, well, so why not do it now? Is that what you're asking? I'm not sure what you're asking. Are you asking me? What?
How did the facts come out?
No. So it be, and how do you know when they lied under oath that they lied under oath?
Because the other one is that they did know.
Okay, so that why can't that be said?
But they're not testifying to the case.
Right, and we know that they knew. Somebody came along and said they knew.
But
they admitted that they knew.
We don't know their testimonies. How do you know that Reuven is... Money,
but that's true in Korban Shavuos Eidos when they lie under oath too. However it is that we find out, in one case we find out in the other case. I mean, we now know that it isn't so. Okay. So this is a very, very big question of time. Yeah.
Wrap the recorders under that, under your hat.
It's probably hashgacha because of all the things that I said that really shouldn't get out.
But
that's what the hats are for.
So there's a dispute here.
What?
I got confused. Go ahead.
Okay. So, Bikitsur, what emerges is, as we've discussed.
Oh, yeah, I do. According to the Ramban, why is it called Haibadim Shomayim? It's just a B2RSA of Tzedakah.
Right, but I mean, in the end of the day, right, it's a little more. In other words, if I decide not to give you tzedakah, that's one thing.
Yeah.
Here, I'm the we're the witnesses, we're the exclusive witnesses, let's say, who can win your... It really goes to what we said before. Reuven has the right to retain or to collect the money that is his from Shimon. From a Reuven-Shimon point of view, this isn't Gemilus Chasadim, and it's not Lachis of Rebach, it's Hefsid. So the third parties, you know, Levi and Yehuda, who are Edom on the case, according to the Ramban, they could be bystanders, except for the Chiyuv Gemilus Chasadim. But in the end of the day, their Gemilus Chasadim is still responsible for Reuven not just not collecting, but Reuven suffering a loss. That's still a Chiyuv Latsis Yedei Shemayim. Is that what I'm saying?
Can we be kofir like the Ramban and Tzedakah?
It's possible because, I mean, the Ramban doesn't speak about it here, but like you say, Prius Bal Chov Mitzvah. And the Ramban is actually the one of all people in Bava Basra who says, Mitoch Shekofeu Bimamono Kofeu Bagufa. But it makes a lot of sense. He doesn't say it here, but it makes a lot of sense. Anyways, Bekitsur, what comes out of this is that there... Everybody agrees it's a chiv agadas eidos when you know testimony. But whether or not that's more lo samra damreyacha or v'hu'eid ora yada or from the pasuk kisecheta, nefesh kisecheta, the shiltos, or it shares a pasuk with shuas eidos like the balitosis, or it's implicit in the chiv shuas eidos mipiachim. Whether it is Gmilus Chasadim, Lo Samod, what is it? An Aseh, a Lav, both, neither, because it's already included in those other rubrics, let's say, or there's a complete range of views. We've seen most of them in the sugya, and in some cases there's the overlap. Lo samod and v'hu'edo royada overlap for the Rambam and Sefer Mitzvos, for the Shemitos. V'hu'edo royada and gemilus chasadim overlap for the Rambam. The Netziv has a terrific comment. The Netziv says, I don't understand all these limudim. What are they all? The Tzivan Perish on the Shultos. He says, the best thing would have been to say that there are two dinim, two separate distinctive dinim of Chiyav HaGadol Eidos, one in Mamon and one in Yisur. The one in Mamon is based on B'huayt Ora Yada Im Lo Yagid V'Nasavo, no? Because the whole parish of Shavuos Eidos is only in Mamonis. And then there's another parsha, and that's Lo Samar Al Dam Reacha. The Kiddush is that Lo Samar Al Dam Reacha applies not only in Hatzalas Nefashos, but also in Mamon. And that's based on, in Isurim, you know, at least in Lo Samar Al Dam Reacha. He says, well, what can you do? It's not what the Rambam says, it's not what the Shilto says. You could read that way in the Sifra, right? But you can't read that way, not in the Rambam Yad HaChazaka, and not in the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvos. So there's this tremendous overlap where it seems like one value is like supercharging, you know, the other value, and that in itself is a very intriguing phenomenon.
If the witnesses give testimony, so they're kind of the essay.
Say that again?
If witnesses give testimony,
yeah,
they come forward and they give testimony, would you say that they're...
That they're mekayem the assay, as opposed to...
If they're mevatel the assay, if they don't give...
Right.
So if they give...
It doesn't... You know what? If it's an assay... First of all, again, for the Rambam, it's an assay.
The Rambam.
For... Let me say it this way. For the Adraman Sanhedrin, and for the Smag, it's a lav, mostly. Im lo yagid v'nasavo, no. As opposed to v'hu'ed or ro'yada. For the Tashbeit, it's both. There's an asay and a lav. So I think it depends on how you formalize it and how you categorize it.
Just one more question.
Yeah.
If somebody does not put a marker on the floor,
yeah,
say he's mabato the asay, right?
Yeah.
You put a marker and somebody falls off the roof and kills himself. He's not chayim. So would you say he's chayim in
Shemayim? So I think there's a discussion about that. But... there's a parallel. There's a parallel here. But again, you know, he's not the Nachai B'dini Adam because he didn't push him. And,
no, even the Bible, the essay.
Right. Right. That's probably more distant. Okay. So what we have here is a Chiyuv Haggadah, and as I say, it's a very suggestive category. What I want to move to then is the other point in the Mishnah. And that is the idea of mipiatzon piache. Because the Rajba, as we noted, says there is no makar for the Chiyuv Haggadas Eidos Bebezdin per se. Right? We just know it because if there wasn't, it's implicit, there, if there wasn't such a Chiyuv, there never could have been a Mujba mipiacherim. So his assumption is that mujba mipiacherim is something quite distant from a shvuas sheker, a shvuas bitui. And he actually says this, if you look at the language. So I want to pursue that a little bit more, and then we're going to continue with this as we go forward. Next week we'll start going through the Gemara already. But let me just go back to the language of the Rajba, just so you see what I mean. Rajba says, what is it?
319.
Yeah. Right. So look at. First, he starts off with Tosis, which he doesn't like. Then it's towards a little bit on the earlier half, not 50%. I'd say 40%. You know, into the piece. Umistabra.
Yeah.
So umistabra the melech shaminula dahibish shama kal Allah. Everybody with me? He says, "Imistabra." It seems logical to be mele shamin Allah, that even though there is no gzeres hakasuv that teaches you that you're obligated to come to court and testify, right? It's self understood. Dahi B'shama kol Allah, afa pishalo on amenu. Because the pasuk is talking about mi piacherim, an imposed shvua, externally imposed, right, where he doesn't articulate it. And even legally, it's not considered his articulation. How do I know that? Because it's not talking about a case of ana amen. Amen is kimotzi shvua mipiv. But if there's no amen, and there's no actually saying of the key words, you know, that constitute hafla'a or bitui in shvua, so where's the sheker? Vafilo hachi, and nonetheless, v'shelo higid ikinasi eschet. Bim isa de kishalosha makal olav a kofar beidusa bebezdin leken si eschet. And if, says the Rajva, again, this is just terrific logic, right? If it were true that even in the absence of a shvua, there was no obligation to come to court and share what you know legally, below chivasa Torah lahoid, the Torah doesn't demand you come forward, the Torah allows you to be a bystander, lam you may be karban al shmias kol bavad. Why does hearing him attempt to impose a shvua on you when you have the right to stay away from court? Well, why does that trigger some sort of an obligation and an onesh? Atu, misha she'omer l'chaveru mashbi ani alecha shetomar kach v'kach she'ra'isa v'lo higid mi mechayim. Stam, somebody comes across, a gossiper. So he says, I demand that you tell what you know, not in court. They're not edim. There's no dini mominus. Look, if somebody can impose a... And if you say, I don't know what you're talking about, that constitutes a shvua sheker. Meaning, a mipia cherim in another context, we would say that's just... it doesn't register. It's insignificant. Right? It's gossip. Ukrovin, he says. I think you could distinguish these cases, obviously, but ukrovim she'enam idim lo. Right? Enam chayavim b'nei she'en be'dusan klum. Let's say go to the brother of the guy. Say, you know what happened here, right? I demand that you respond to my oath. And the guy says, "And I don't know." He doesn't want to get involved in it. So he says, "I don't know anything." So he is in violation of a shvua d'oraisa, right? V'afaksherim kiyotzabayim. This is, of course, the leap. So who cares that they're edim? In the end of the day, says the Rajba, objectively, right, we're lacking the infrastructure of a shvuas sheker, of a shvuas bitui, right? So lo yuchayav lahido kol shelo an amen. This should be zero. The only thing that makes it something is what? The chiyav agada. So even if the makar is not v'hu'edo ra'yada, when the Gemara was quoting it, the Mishnah in Sanhedrin, the Gemara in Bava Kama, quote v'hu'edo ra'yada, because b'chlal, the parsha of Korban Shavua Seder, there has to be, the obligation, and therefore the capacity to impose. Now again, how could you disagree with the Rajba? Could you disagree with the Rajba? The answer is sure. What you'd have to say is, partially what he's saying has to be true, but in the end of the day, the Rajba portrays Mipiacherim as something that is lacking, right? Even Lahalacha, it's lacking something important in Shua Sheker, right? His argument, therefore, is that what? So what picks up the slack? This is very important Rajba. The answer is the Rajba is addressing the question that we mentioned last week, and that is, what is the balance, we'll stop at one more minute, if this hybrid? Shuas Eidus is a hybrid. Shuas Epikadron is a hybrid. Meaning, there's a component from Dine Mamanis, and there's a component from Hilchos Shavuos. There's a lie, right? That's the Shavuos part. And there is the consequence of the lie, which in Shuas Eidus is that his abstention from testimony causes a loss to one of the litigants. And in the case of Shrusa Bikadon, right, his shvuos lie, right, reinforces an act of gezel. There's gezel and shvua, there's edus and shvua, it's a hybrid. And what the Rajba really seems to be saying is that in this hybrid, in at least mipiacherim, the edus part and the hefset part is very crucial. And the Rishonim will disagree, will say what? The truth is, you could disagree with the Rajba on two levels. One you could say is, this is true. It's so true that it's not only true about Mipi Acherim, it's true about Mipi Atzmo too. Because if we paskin like the Chachamim against Reb Meir, maybe the Chiddush of the Torah is that Mipi Acherim and Mipi Atzmo are not so different from each other. Mid the Mipi Acherim Nishma, that even Mipi Atzmo, what's important in Shuas Eidus primarily is the Kvishos Eisus and Hefset Mamon, and the Shua Sheker is Derech, it's just the vehicle, it's the method which accentuate, you did it, and you did it, b'shvua, sheker. Ah, that's even a worse, you know, kvishas edus, or gezel, or as the case may be. So that even the piatzma might be that. And that's why the Torah, why does the Torah mention the piacherim? To accentuate that the parsha of shvuas edus is all about, or mostly about, kvishas edus, shvuas sheker. But you could also argue the other way. But you could say, the magical word is the one that you used before, tziruf. What you could say is, in Achanami, Mipi Acherim is a chiddush in Shuas Eidus. But not because Shuas Eidus, even in the Mipi Acherim case, is about Hefsed Mamon and Kvishas Eidus primarily. No. The Hefsed Mamon and the Kvishas Eidus is what allows you to expand the Hagdara, the definition of Shvua, of Nishba. In other words, typically, if we're talking about something neutral, so all the heavy lifting is connected to the articulation of the Shvua. Because I don't have any right to, I can go to my neighbor and say, you know, I demand you tell me what you ate for breakfast yesterday. Right? I don't have such a right. So if my neighbor wants to take a Shvua about what he ate for breakfast yesterday, and he wants to lie about it, that's a Shvua's bitui. Or what he'll eat for breakfast tomorrow. Or whether he'll eat breakfast tomorrow, and so on. But I can't impose that on him because... But if he owes me testimony, right, that gives me the capacity to impose upon him a shvua, and then to say, this is language that the Ramban uses in a different context, mashbia kenishba, or mushbak rather, kenishba. Ramban says it's a mechamos on chafei amidbeis. Meaning, even in Piacherim, the Mechayev, maybe, is the Shvua, the Shvua's Sheker, but the Choshen Mishpat part is what allows me to expand a little bit the Shvua. So this question of the Piatma and Piacherim, whether they're two different Mechayevim, if they're one, whether the one is primarily like Mipi Atzmo or primarily like Mipi Acherim, is a very central question throughout the Perek. And the parallel question in Shuas HaPikadon is equally compelling. The question of whether you might distinguish between Shuas HaEdos and Shuas HaPikadon in either direction regarding this question is a third big topic that we're going to keep running into. Okay? So in that sense, just to sum up, there's a lot of different views about the Chi of Haggadah. I think the first few minutes that we started before Neom Neraim, I indicated that this is something that every legal system obviously needs to contend with, and it also reflects a lot about the values of the broader legal system. Right? The more you have a legal system which is about, you know, high ambition and aspiration, and again, Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh LaZeh, the more something like a Chi of Haggadah, inability to claim I want to be a bystander, that becomes a very important factor. But in addition to that, it also sets up a better understanding about the different components within Shuas HaEdus and Shuas HaPikadon and the relationship of Piacherim and Piatzmo of each and both. So then next time we'll start going straighter.
Okay. Straighter.